an exhilarating and harrowing exploration of contemporary masculinity. Well, that's how Brett and Duke's publishers describe his third short story collection, What Sort of Man? The Dunedin writer has kept us waiting around 6 years for this collection, and then the coronavirus scuppered the official launch. But the book is now out and the reviews are coming in. Brad Warrington reads from the collection.
When Melanie was two, Kelly got a good job at the university and Gary took a year off. They'd just bought a house that was big and old, and his plan was to get into some DIY, replacing weatherboards, painting, wallpapering, building a deck, while also caring for Melanie. What he found, though, was that a two-year-old requires 100% monitoring. And though she'd nap in the afternoons, Gary, tired from tidying away big pools of toys, making peanut butter soldiers, getting her from one outfit, a cowgirl, saying to another, a frog princess, and then going out to look for worm kingdoms or playing gutter boats, would, by then, be buggered. So none of what he had planned to do that year got done. But do you see that didn't matter, Melanie? Says Gary, talking intensely into the phone. Redecorating or whatever wasn't what that year was about. That year was about developing this amazing relationship with you, my little girl. Down the line, Melanie, now 17, says coldly, Right, Dad.
Britton, when it comes to short story collections, they can be anthologised, they can be kind of, you know, random, a collection created over some years, or they can be riffing on a theme. Are you riffing on a theme?
Not really intentionally. The masculinity thing is the obvious theme that's been thrown about, though I didn't intend that when I started this collection. I think I obviously write a lot about men and New Zealand men generally, so that's something that has come up. I'm just motivated generally to write a better story than the last one I wrote, and to try and, you know, write with tension and drama and entertainment and humour. And I guess I'm setting most of the stories here in Dunedin, so there's that in terms of the setting. And in terms of the theme of masculinity, I guess I'm interested in male characters, being a male myself and having gone through an all-boys high school and then into a sort of macho scene at Otago University. Those are things that sort of reverberate with me and, you know, in my memories, I suppose. So that stuff comes out in my fiction.
So I read that description of this going head-to-head with the crisis of contemporary masculinity. So I guess in a way I was surprised at how often and how well we see the female gaze as well as the male gaze. And I thought I'd give an example of this with Bullfighter, which is as much Michelle's story as it is Lance's story. And I'll just get a little synopsis for you, if I could, of this couple down in their luck, largely brought upon themselves. But they're in this downward spiral, aren't they?
Yeah, and that was the goal for me, was to trap Michelle and Lance at the beginning and then keep trapping them further, so taking away options and creating drama from there. And yeah, I mean, that story is totally told from the point of view of the female character, so that would be an example of me not being interested so much in the masculinity theme, just trying to make a story that's got heaps of tension and, you know, one of those ones where you don't know how it's going to turn out as the reader. So that was the goal there.
It has the most, for me, the most insightful description of gambling and the addiction of gambling with pokies. I'm used to just seeing kind of blank faces, you know, when I see them in some kind of zone. I didn't understand the tactics and the science of it, but it's absolutely a drug. And I wondered what research you'd gone into to do this because it's very detailed, you know. It's kind of, yeah, event by event, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess you kind of get the sense of, oh, my God, you know, it could happen for her. You know, she needs money for the electricity. You know, they need a bit of money for the weed. No, they need this money. But, man, that was kind of terrifying.
Yeah, well, I think those machines are set up to create addictions within the people who play them. And they are alluring. And I have played the pokies a wee bit myself. So I can relate, I guess, to the sensations that a gambler is going through when they're hoping to, win big against the odds. And of course, it always is against the odds. But yeah, that was a satisfying scene to write. And I guess what I wanted to do was to stay in that scene rather than leaving it. I tried to stay in there for as long as I could keep it entertaining, because I felt like there would be tension in there if I could do it right.
Well, I couldn't wait to get out of there, I must admit. It was terrifying. Let's have a look at the title story, What Sort of Man? Because, goodness, if you were talking about putting obstacles for Lance and Michelle, you certainly put them up there for poor old Evan, who is a caregiver for Carl. What's their story?
Yeah, so he's looking after an autistic gentleman and moving around a couple of different parts of Dunedin. And as the story unravels, the pressure rises on the fellow doing the caring. There's a car accident, and then his charge has to use the bathroom, and they meet a mother and a young child, and there's sort of an interaction there that creates more tension. And then the story jumps out of that sort of setting and moves into Evan looking after his young son, and I guess there's some parallels there with him caring for people and trying to figure out his own role in the world and whether caring for people is valuable or not, and how his relationship with his partner is affected by that as well.
And he is a caring person. I mean, for Carl, things just get worse and worse. He has behaviours which are difficult to manage. He's an adult, we should say. They're about the same age.
I've worked a wee bit in the disability sector, and it's a hard sector to work in, and it's hard for all the people concerned to try and get certain people out into the community and have them have a good, open life, as well as be aware of the sort of limitations that they have. So I guess in a way I was exploring that a wee bit as well. But really just trying to create more tension and entertainment than anything.
I mean, you really take on some tough topics here. The very first story in the collection, Ross Creek, which is a setting for several of the stories, as you mentioned, Breton, is a tough one. You've got a school teacher who has been stood down for accessing porn on his computer. He is estranged from his wife. He's more concerned, really, about the estrangement from his daughter, Melanie. And yet his justification for his behaviour is very interesting. It wasn't illegal. It was just some photographs. He only looked at them, you know, when there were no kids in the class, you know, after school. He's really justified it in his own head, hasn't he? That must have been an uncomfortable place to live.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, these things happen, I suppose. You read about them in the newspaper all the time. People who you would think wouldn't do certain things, in this case a high school teacher looking at pornography, but of course humans are very fallible and make lots of silly mistakes, and I guess what I'm interested in there is how he goes about trying to repair the damaged relationship with his daughter and the sort of lengths he goes to do that. There's also a much darker part of that story as well, whereby there's a sex offender or a murderer operating in the Botanic Gardens in Dunedin and around Ross Creek, which adds another sort of level of tension, I suppose, to the story. I guess the question on that story is, who is the murderer and what exactly is going on?
When you're writing about complicated people like Gary or Michelle or Lance, do you have to find affection for them somehow, even however screwed up they are, you know, whatever choices they make? As a writer, do you have to care about them?
Yes, I think so, and I do, and I try and make the characters as round. I try and round the characters to some extent. They're clearly very troubled, and I guess I often suggest that they've had difficult pasts. In the case of Michelle, there's no mention of her parents or any other loving relationships around her, so we can take from that she's had maybe a harder upbringing than other people. And I'm always aware that we all have strengths and weaknesses and dark parts of our personality and lighter parts, and I guess I'm sort of trying to explore that through fiction.
We can't talk about all the stories, but I thought we'd finish off, Breton, with Kid and the Tiger, because drugs have a big role to play in here. You've got a young dad, I think he's only 24, Kid, and he's spending time with his two-year-old son, and drugs, Ritalin, messing with his brain, and potentially a really dangerous situation at the zoo.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that one came from. I know I'd been at the Auckland Zoo around that time and I guess looked down into that tiger enclosure there, and I just started to think, gee, I wonder if anyone's ever tried to jump over, and then if someone was going to jump over there, who would do it, and in what situation would they be in that would motivate such an act? And that's where I came up with Kid, I guess. And I think the thing about that one is Kid's trying really hard to be a good father as well. And he's also got this distorted sense of himself as a man and what he should and shouldn't be doing. And so he's very confused and high on Ritalin. And that's when the trouble really starts.
Breton Dukes, What Sort of Man is published by Victoria University Press.